When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining, 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Oh! The Mets hope they put a ring on it. That's right. Yankees, too. More so the Yankees. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I'll never understand the Yankee Met fan dynamic. I don't view it the same way you guys do. I certainly don't like the Tommy Lugauer. A lot of talk about Tommy, positive Tommy, but he is a Yankee hater. That's been his shtick for a long time. Met hater, a Yankee hater. There will never be peace. All the stuff he's been saying for forever. I don't get it. I honestly don't. I don't get it with Giants and Jets. I don't get it with Mets and Yankees. I guess, listen, the Mets lost the World Series to the Yankees. So I understand that if you were around for the year 2000 and, you know, you had an opportunity to win a championship and that, you know, the dynasty Yankees got in your way, okay. I get it. I hate every team. I hate the Marlins. I hate every team that beat me in the World Series. So I get that a little bit. I don't know about there'll never be peace. I don't think it's a blood war. I don't. Not really. They don't play each other. They play each other once a year. They're not battling for anything. They have to get into the World Series to play meaningful games. Like, it's just, that might change, unfortunately, very soon. But as of right now, I just don't understand it. But I want to hear some sound. Because obviously we all watch the television broadcast, I would think. Maybe a lot did listen to the radio if, you know, you were around and about. I think that's part of it, too. Because when you think of, like, when your father would ever tell you a story about classic World Series games, they're always played during the day. Oh, they let us out of school, or they brought a radio into the classroom, or like that was always, you know, because it wasn't prime time, TV wasn't the same. Those games were played, baseball games were played during the day. So I like the idea that this, I had to wake up early for me, you know, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to turn this on. I think that's part of it. But I want to hear some of the Howie calls, because all I've heard is the home run call. So I want to hear a couple of the Howie calls. I want to hear the final out again from both Howie and, obviously, Gary Cohen, losing it. Whenever I can't think of that name, I have to go Ron, Keith, and Gary, but I get to Gary last, so it takes the longest. But, and then I do want to hear, let's start with the Atlanta Braves. Before we get into the happiness of the Mets, let's take a moment and enjoy the misery. It was short-lived because they ended up making the playoffs anyway, but let's hear if there's real pain and misery in the Atlanta Brave broadcast, as the Lindor fly ball, or at least that's what we perceived it to be, continues to carry over the fence and give the Mets the ultimate lead they would never relinquish.
In the air, out to right center. Michael Harris is going back. And it is out of here. Are you kidding me? The roller coaster ride continues, and Lindor puts the Mets back in front.
Yeah, there's some pain there from Brandon Gatter on the Bally Sports Network. Yeah, there is some pain there. It's not devastating, but that was a crazy home run. Can you imagine? I mean, if you thought you battled back from down 3 runs in the 8th inning, you're up 3-0. Then you're down 6-3. They battle back and score 4 to make it 7-6. And Lindor hits that home run. Oh, my God. Killer. All right, let's just go. We got nothing else. I'm going to hold on, guys. We're going to get to the calls in a second. I want to hear some Howie. So let's just go through all the Howie calls. What the hell? Everything we have in the system. Let's play it on, obviously, Odyssey Mets Radio.
Met fans making noise. The 0-1 hit on the ground towards third. Fair ball. Past the Dizing Urshela and down the left field line. Taylor around third scores easily. The throw is hurled to second by Laureano. Not in time to get Alvarez. A double and a run batted in. The Braves' lead is cut to 3-1. Here's the 1-1 to Lindor. Swing and a liner to center. Base hit for Lindor. Alvarez is in. Marte stops at second. Lindor on at first. RBI single. 4 straight hits to begin the 8th inning for the Mets. The Atlanta lead is now 3-2. Here's the pitch. Swing and a liner to right field. That's a base hit. Marte hits third. He's coming home. White throw is cut off by Olsen. The Mets have tied the game. Going to third is Lindor. And holding at first with an RBI single is Jose Iglesias. The Mets have tied the game 3-3. And still nobody out in the eighth inning. Five straight hits for New York. And they're in charge now. 2-1 to count the pitch. Swinging a high fly ball. Fairly shallow center. Harris settles under it. Lindor tags. Harris makes the catch. Here comes Lindor. Throw to the plate. Cut off by Olsen. Mets take the lead. A sacrifice fly for Mark Vientos. It is 4-3 New York. Iglesias holds it first. One man out. And a four-run eighth inning for New York. The 2-1 to Nimmo. Driven in the air. Deep right field. This baby's on the way. It is gone! A long two-run homer for Brandon Nimmo. It's a six-run eighth inning. The Mets are leading by a score of 6-3. It's as though the alarm clock went off. It is pandemonium in the Mets dugout. And from the Mets fans here at Truist Park as well. Johnson ready. His first pitch to Lindor. Swinging a high fly ball. Well hit right center. Harris going back. It's on the way. It is gone! Into the Braves bullpen in right center field. Francisco Lindor has an MVP moment. Whether he wins one or not, he has just put the Mets back on top. 8-7. So White walks his lead off of second. Outfield a step towards right against the right-hand hitter, Darnell. Diaz sets the 2-2 pitch. Swinging a bouncing ball, slowly hit to short. Waiting on it, Lindor. He's got it. Throws to first. Put it in the box. Diaz slams the glove down. He is pounced on by Alvarez. And the New York Mets are headed to postseason play in what has been a memorable season. There were 11 games under 500 in late May. They have stormed all the way back. And metaphorically, they did so today. Trailing 3-0 going to the eighth. They scored six runs to take the lead. Diaz gave the lead back. The Mets gave it back to him, and this time Diaz held onto it. And the Mets hugging each other behind the pitcher's mound celebrate.
Yeah, Howie is so excited. You love hearing it. Howie is so excited. I think there was a couple of little, you know, well, on the Urshela
flubs.
Yeah, a couple of flubs here or there. Urshela, which I certainly can't get on him for. But yeah, Dizing, right? Was it something Dizing instead of diving? A couple of things. But he is just so, I mean, listen, that's the dream right there. I mean, that's as great a moment and as great a rally and as big a two home runs and then a huge win. I mean, those are moments. And unfortunately, for as long as Howie has had this great career, there really aren't that many.
You have to think, like, this has been compared to the game in the 86 NLCS against the Astros.
Right.
Other postseason games. But for Gary and Howie, they're probably putting this as number one or close to it on games called. Howie might also put the Piazza home run game after 9/11. But,
yeah.
I mean, this is right at the top of both of their lists.
It's got to be. I mean, there's clinching games to go to the World Series, but they weren't as crazy and topsy-turvy as this. It's got to be up there because, you know, again, it's also what this era of baseball, like where they are right now and what they can do in an open, I mean, we've talked about it and you can't just dismiss it now. We've talked about this. Yeah, the Phillies are good. Yeah, the Dodgers are good. Yes, the Yankees are good. The Astros are always good. But, like, this is such an open MLB season. It's the first time since 1973. I don't know about the National League, but I read a stat. It's the first time since 1973 that the top record in the American League is less than 95 wins. It's the first time since 1973. Now, if the Yankees needed 96 wins to win it, I think they could have got it. They didn't really take those last couple games that seriously when they came back home with a six-game lead with six to play. But still, this thing is wide open for anybody. 888-808-1019. Howie Rose on the Odyssey Mets Radio. Those are some great calls. They really are, because you could feel the excitement. You know how much he cares. It's just, what a day for the Mets and their fans. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Good morning, Brother Mac. How you doing, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. You know, I'm with you. I want to be one of those Yankees fans that's not on the negative Nelly side of things. You know what I'm saying? I call them negs in the world. I don't like those. I don't like to give them negative energy to help them feed themselves. But, you know, it's good that you played those calls, because when they do make the DVD or the documentary to capture everything, mm-hmm. it almost sounds kind of nostalgic. It sounds like one of them Giants calls from back in the day where, like, you know, the grainy TV and it was black and white and you couldn't really watch that. So you had to, whenever anybody talks about it or they play something to make you remember it, they always play the call off the radio. That sounded really good. It captured all the highs and the lows of the moments. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I was actually ironing my clothes to get ready for work. And as much as, you know, full disclaimer, I'm not a Mets fan. I was still watching the game, too, at for a second or two, because my father-in-law is. And I told wifey, I said, yo, they down 3-0. I hope your pops is okay. Then they went up. I said, he must be feeling good. Then the homer, I said, I hope his TV survived and he didn't knock it off the wall. Crazy, and then when Lindor did what he did, it was like, it's crazy. But to get to the 2 points I wanted to make, shout out to Evan Roberts, because I don't know if it was last week or the week before that, but he did say something to that effect, and I very much agree with him when he said it. When you got to chase a demon, you know, when it comes to things like this and what they had to do this season to get to where they're at, things are going to happen in some crazy ways. And they're going to be moments when you feel like it's just not possible. But it had to be something crazy like what happened today for a moment like what the Mets needed for them to get through. So shout out to the Mets team and any Mets fans. Congratulations to y'all. Y'all got your lottery ticket and y'all in the show. You know what I mean? As far as the postseason moving forward. So one other point I'd like to make, if you could bear with me 1 second, Mac, is that, you know, you said something about MLB, and I think, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yo, they got some nerve, Pop, because you didn't do it. You had a chance to do something to correct the fact that the Mets and the Braves had to go through what they had to go through today, okay? You didn't do anything about that. You had an opportunity even, and who knows what will happen tomorrow morning when we wake up, but I doubt it. You had an opportunity to kind of shift the game and move the postseason so that after you put them through the nonsense that you put them through today, they didn't have to go through what potentially they will be going through tomorrow. And then you got the nerve now. I was watching it on telly, as I said to you before, when I was ironing my clothes, and I heard one of the commentators say something about MLB sent an edict to both teams that they hope, regardless of which team wins the first game, that there's no celebrating as far as like the champagne and all this stuff like that in between the game.
Yeah.
So you don't do anything to fix the situation, but then you want to dictate to people how they should feel if they get a good moment.
I agree.
And that's ridiculous.
I agree, Val. I was with you. I thought that was a petty comment. Now, they're trying to just keep the game. They wanted the second game on not the level, because I don't think anybody would. They wanted that second game to feel like a game. And if they had a celebration, if the Mets went through their celebration in between, like, how could you possibly come out? Like, they'd have to take a shower. They'd have to get, you know, into different uniforms. They'd have to, like who's going to come out after celebrating and drinking champagne and smoking cigars and then go play a baseball game? So they did it to try and say, hey, look, that second game is going to be meaningful for the other team. You got to show respect to the other team. And you got to wait until the end. But here's the thing. I think that team would have done that anyway. I don't think the Mets would have celebrated in between knowing that they owe it to the Diamondbacks and they owe it to baseball to at least present the game. They don't owe it to anybody to play their best players if they don't want to. Anyone who needs a blow. Obviously, Lindor had no business playing in the game. Diaz isn't going to pitch again. Maton's not going to pitch again. Like, they owed it to nobody to put forth anything that could hinder them moving forward in the postseason. But you kind of owe it just to give a representative, you know, performance and not, you know, be coming off, you know, not like stinking of champagne when you're out there at second base. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think the Mets would have celebrated anyway, but it was just, and like that caps the night too. The idea that both of these teams are celebrating at the same time, like just a weird day, but it's going to be a memorable one. It's certainly going to be one I never forget. That's as crazy a game that I ever remember seeing. And it felt like a playoff game. It had that feel of, you know, it's a day game. Like, we'll have the 2 o'clock game later today of Tigers at Houston. And then the Mets are at 5:30, which, by the way, I have a major problem. Little League game, 5:15. And my other son, Andrew, Tommy's got a baseball game. Andrew has practice. So, and there's only two parents. So, I'm going to be at my son's Little League game, and I don't know what to do. Because I want to watch the next player. I can't DVR the Met game, because then that eats into the night game, and I'm a baseball junkie. So, I'm literally going to be on my phone watching the Met game at my son's Little League game, which is going to make me feel bad to begin with, because it's going to be like, well, why aren't you paying attention to your son? Like, I will when his at-bats come up. But again, he's seven. All right? He's not going to make a diving stop in the hole and then throw the guy out at first. Okay? We all know what's going to happen. His coach is still pitching to them. I'll try and focus on his at-bats, but yeah, I mean, I'm going to be stuck watching the Mets. His game is at 5:15. Game starts at 5:20. Like, it's... I'll be watching the Mets on my phone at my son's baseball game. Is it supposed to rain tomorrow? Any chance it rains here in New York? 888-808-1019. But, I mean, it's what a crazy game, what a crazy set of circumstances. And now it sets up for a big game, a big series. Because, listen, this is no longer, like, I do think, and I've said this for a while, I do think winning that game yesterday and making the playoffs validates the season. No matter what happens moving forward, I think now, especially with how it went down, the Met fan can look back at this year with a big smile and a great feeling about this team and a great feeling about this season. That I think they needed to make the playoffs. If they lost both of those games yesterday or previously were unable to even put themselves in that position and we're not in the playoffs, I don't think this season's fun. I think all the stuff goes away. All the OMG, the grimace, all the great performances, Iglesias, Taylor, just everything goes away. Lindor's MVP type season, all of it. Severino, Manaya's great year. All of it goes, all of it has a bad taste in your mouth. They've eliminated that. This year will always be a fun year with a crazy end of the season, a memorable year, and what should be and hopes to be the start of a brand new era. And I know the owner's been here for a while, but it feels like now Stearns is in place, and this kind of feels like year one of the new future of the New York Mets. And it'll always be viewed that way with a positive light because of what they were able to accomplish yesterday. But that, I stop there, but I won't go as far as to say they're playing with house money now moving forward. I'm not sure there's any scenario where that's the case, and it's certainly not now, because this team has an opportunity to go win. A loss is going to be devastating. Prepare yourself, Met fans. As much as you might still be able to look back on the year with a positive feeling, it won't be on Thursday or Wednesday if you lose to the Milwaukee Brewers. That will not be the time where you have a positive feeling about the season. You're going to feel like, oh my God, this team, off of that win, they couldn't build momentum to beat the Milwaukee Brewers? Like, that's the feeling. 6 months from now, as spring training starts next year, building off that great year last year, that will be the talk. But right now, you have to go out and win this series. It is not house money. Anytime you get into this spot, and whenever you have a team that I think is capable, I think they're better than the Milwaukee Brewers. And that's probably unfair to Milwaukee Brewers. Maybe it's, you know, a little bit biased because I watch the Mets a hell of a lot more than I watch the Brewers. I mean, this is a Brewers team, lost their manager, left for the Cubs, and still went out there and just dominated this division. And they've had a great year. And they've dominated the Mets this year. I don't know how much stock I put into that, but they've dominated the Mets this year. And they certainly have Hoskins, who I do put stock in the idea of hitters seeing a uniform and feeling great. Hoskins feels very comfortable hitting the Mets. That I agree with. The idea whether or not this Milwaukee team owns the Mets because they've won 5 out of 6, that I don't know. That was the first series of the year. The Mets were a different team. But I do believe Hoskins feels very comfortable in New York, when he's facing the New York Mets. I do believe players, for whatever reason, feel good in ballparks, feel good against certain pitchers, and feel good against certain teams. So he's going to be a dangerous factor moving forward in this series. But, you know, Peralta's a very good pitcher. I like Severino. And I love the spunkiness of this team, and I love, you know, I just like this team. There's no reason they shouldn't go win this series. And if they do that and go take on Philadelphia, they just took 3 out of 4 from Philly. They're a team they know very well. There's no reason they can't go out there and beat Philadelphia. I don't think that's... I think Philly's better overall. I think Philly has earned that. You know, Philly had this great regular season. It's kind of slowed down, but they started off incredibly hot and have earned the idea that they're as good and complete a team as there is in the National League, and that will be a tough series, especially on the road in Philadelphia. But that's a series they can win, and they can beat the Dodgers. Like... there is no house money. Go out there and perform and make this season even more special until you lose to the Yankees. Mark in Georgia. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Seabass. How you doing this
evening? Good, buddy. How are you?
Okay.
You were at the game yesterday.
Yes, I was.
Did you stay for both of them?
Yes, I did. I stayed for the very last pitch. And it was really, really weird. I've been a Met fan for 53 years. Shea, Citi Field, and now transplanted person in Georgia, and it was just an amazing game. I mean, yeah. It was just, you know, when Diaz gave the lead back, and we brought him back out for the ninth. He pitched like what 25 pitches the day before, and then he pitched all those pitches in the eighth inning.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe they're.
I'm sure a lot of Met fans. Now it was going to be Stanek was the only other choice. I guess they were saving Buddha for the second game. I thought in my gut, I thought going to Diaz was probably the right move because, A, if Stanek is the other choice. Now, I thought I would have tried to get Buddha up and see if I could bring him in. But if it was going to be Stanek or Diaz, I kind of like Diaz getting back out there in hopes that he could do it. And then in that moment, he could salvage some semblance of, okay, I got the job done moving forward. Because if he just left off that ninth, I mean, the next time he comes out there, he's got to prove it. Now, he's done that. He's come back from bad losses before and pitched well, and he did it within the game. But I just felt like if you let him finish off of that disastrous performance, and then you go to Stanek and he gets the outs, and the story is strictly one-sided with him heading into this series... not that you can't go to him, not that you would hesitate to go to him, but you probably still don't have him for this game, I wouldn't think. And now I'm very curious how he responds. So I thought it was a brave move. I thought it made sense. It does come with the safety net of you only need game, you could take game two as well, but I thought Mendoza did the right thing with it.
Well, Mendoza does that. That's his MO, right? Like I thought they were giving the first batter in the ninth, and then once the runner got on, I thought they were going to pull him.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes with his guy. He's a confidence building guy.
Yeah.
And he's going to go with him. Like you said, he had the second game. But the weirdest thing is for me, I've never ever 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 rooted for my team to lose, right? And I really felt that playing Milwaukee was where they had to be instead of flying to San Diego and playing that game. First of all, they don't play well against San Diego anyway. But
they lost this year. They've won six. They won five out of seven. To be fair,
yeah. I guess I'm still stinging from the playoff loss a couple of years ago. But I rooted for them to win that second game anyway. But when they lost it, there were no tears that were being shed.
No, absolutely not.
It was a really weird emotion.
It's a weird day because honestly, like once you win that game, and especially in the fashion you win it, like if they just dominated, if they came out and jumped, you know, all over Schwellenbach and scored 6 runs in the first 2 innings and coast to an easy victory, you know, maybe the second game has a little bit more. Like, hey, who? Like you're spending the entire first game thinking like, all right, now that, you know, this game feels in hand, I know you'd never really truly feel that way, but it would creep into your mind as a Met fan. Like, okay, now who would I rather face? Would I rather face Milwaukee? Would I rather face and fly out to go out to San Diego? You know, struggled against Milwaukee this year, although I put no real credence into that. But Or do I want to knock the Braves out? Is that something? Like, those are the type of things you're thinking. When you win the game in the fashion you win it, and the celebration is just euphoric, like, who the hell cares at all about game two? Like, who the hell cares at all about game two? If you had a dominant victory and you knew you were cruising to a win and you could play those mind games in your head about game two and how they handle it and who they should pitch and what does it mean and which matchup do I prefer? Do I care about if I, do you think even if I get through the wild card, what's the better matchup, Dodgers or Philly? Like, those are all the things you could have contemplated in your mind playing out the string of an easy victory. When you're down 3-0 in the eighth inning, you rally for 6 runs, blow that, then Lindor hits the home run, you're with runner on second base and 2 outs with Travis d'Arnaud, the guy you jettisoned away, up, who's been great since he left you, whether it's for Tampa Bay, whether it's for Atlanta, has really become a pretty good offensive player, for a catcher at least. I mean, you're waiting for that bait. Like, everything about this game was crazy. So once you win that game in that fashion, second game, who I play next, all of it's out the window. Knock the Braves out. Like, no one cares. No one cares. You're wrapped up in that great victory. You're wrapped up in the moment. So that made it an even more strange dynamic for game two, because honestly, did you even pay attention to it? Like, I know if you're a Mets fan, you watched it, but like, did you care? Other than, you know, someone getting hurt, would you have cared? I can't imagine there are many Mets fans out there today. You can call me up, 888-808-1019, and say, no, I had a distinct feeling it was best to lose, or no, I want to knock out the Braves. I was pulling hard. Like, I don't know. Like, for me, it was and again, not a Mets fan, but gives a damn. Who cares? I don't care. And yeah, the idea of flying all the way out to San Diego when San Diego's lineup is probably more dangerous top to bottom. The back end of San Diego's bullpen, although obviously the Brewers do have a very good closer. But they've got a couple of arms in the back end of that bullpen. Plus, you're talking about Machado and Tatis and Arraez. Like, they have a bunch of really good hitters. Bogarts, who's postseason, you know, has tons of experience in the postseason. So I do think the better team is probably the Padres. So I like the matchup for the Mets. I do. I like the matchup for the Mets. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Hey, you know, Chris, the people who are dogging you for liking the Mets should understand that the people who were probably pulling for him most were anybody in the Yankee organization, including Aaron Judge, who, because Mendoza was there forever. I mean, the only way he got that job, you know?
No, you're right. I'm sure there are many people in the Yankee organization who are very happy, starting with Aaron Boone, I have no doubt. For me, personally, it's not because Mendoza's a Yankee that has almost zero to do with me rooting for the Mets, nor is Severino's history as a Yankee or Bader's history as a Yankee, or like, none of that really plays in my mind. I'm rooting for the Mets because they're the team in New York. I watch them on a nightly basis, so I've grown to at least have, like, if they're a miserable team that's a bunch of bad guys or play an ugly style of baseball and are hard to root for, maybe I'd feel different. But if you watch, whether you're forced to like me, and I wouldn't say the word forced because I love baseball, but if you watch them on a nightly basis, whether you're a fan or not, and you watch this group do what they've done and the turnaround that they've made and the inspired baseball that they have played and all the different guys who've come out of nowhere, all the one-year contracts to starting pitchers, all the journeymen showing up to play who you thought would be backup infielders and guys who were just there to sustain injuries and who've now come in and done this incredible job, and like, Lindor having the MVP season and everything about it, like, if you watched him on a nightly basis, how could you not pull for this team on some level? And then ultimately, I want to watch more good baseball. I want to have something to watch every night. I want to see the Mets in postseason games. I want to be in it. Like, I talked, and thank you for the call because I got a break, Steve. I know I probably didn't give you much time there. I apologize. But, like, I want to be in it. I remember Marco, the night the Yankees celebrated or whatever. He's like, you want to be a part of this, don't you? Like, you think you're... Yeah, I want to be a part of it. I do. I want to be a part of it. And while I'm not a Met fan, I don't claim to ever try and be a part of it with the Mets. I'm not popping champagne today. I want to be invested. I want to turn on a baseball game I give a damn about and watch it. And watch good playoff games. I don't, you know... Like when it helps that the Yankees are in, because when the Yankees are out, I feel less invested in the postseason. I'll watch because I love baseball, but I'm less invested. I'm all about Astros Tigers tomorrow at 2:00. I'm all about it, but I want to watch the Mets and be invested. I want to come on at midnight tomorrow and talk about a playoff game. I want to watch good baseball. Why would I want the Mets to be miserable? Why do I want the Jets, as a Giant fan, why do I want the Jets to be miserable? Why do I want to turn on my television on Sunday at 1 o'clock and watch that disgusting performance the Jets put forth? Why do I want to watch that? Like, this is what I don't get, because we're sports fans. I'm a Met fan. I'm a Met fan because I'm a baseball fan, and I'm watching them. Like, and this, and especially football and the Jets, like, for a Giant fan, I mean, you weren't watching the Jet game at 1 o'clock? Okay, maybe you're the kind of person who was more invested in your, if you have the Sunday ticket and you love your fantasy football team and you're watching the Red Zone and you're keeping an eye on the Jets, but ultimately you're watching the Jets at 1 o'clock. You're watching the Jets. Why do I want to watch disgusting football when I'm going to watch them 17 times a year? Why do I want to see Zach Wilson play when I could see Aaron Rodgers play, although there wasn't much of a difference on Sunday? And that's how I feel about the Mets. I'm not in, when the game's over, win or lose, I go to sleep. It doesn't bother me. But while I'm watching them, I want to see good baseball and I want to see a playoff game. I'm pumped to be, I'm pumped for 525 tomorrow. I'm pumped for Peralta versus Severino. Pumped. So I'm getting a lot of flack from Yankee fans for openly rooting for the Mets. I think you're crazy. We should all be rooting for the Mets. Why not? The fear it might come back and bite us in the ass and lose to the Mets in the World Series. Listen, they lose to the Mets in the World Series, it really won't bother me any more than losing to the Phillies in the World Series or losing to the Braves in the World Series or the Dodgers in the World Series or the Brewers in the World Series. Why would the Mets bother me more? Because I got to hear the people in the city. I got to take it from my friends. Like, who cares? That's what it's all about. We had it in 2000. If you were around to enjoy it, you should have taken advantage of it.
Manning takes the knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:42 on this Tuesday morning of postseason baseball. The playoffs start today, and the Mets are in it after one of the craziest games we have ever seen. And not just Met games, like one of the craziest end-of-season scenarios. I remember, what year is it where they played like five or six games where it was like they were all impactful on what would happen in the postseason? It was like this crazy final game of the year. Do you remember that, Fleegs, or no? Am I talking something crazy? Wasn't there a year where there was like all these games that it came down to the final game of the regular season?
Maybe 98 when they collapsed in the wild card race.
Right.
Well, I mean, 99 also was tough because they ended up playing the game 163.
Right. But no, not even just the Mets, like Major League Baseball in general.
Oh, the
there was
2011.
That
was the day with the Red Sox in the race.
Right. There was that, like, that was the end of the season where there was like a bunch of games that had an impact on who was going to make the postseason. And
that was a weekday. That was like the only, or one of the years they ended on a Wednesday or Thursday, whatever
right,
it was.
Right. That's right. So like that might have been as crazy a day, but like this, just to end the season on a Monday after the season had ended for everybody else to play this doubleheader that would impact three teams, Mets, Braves, Diamondbacks, to see who would be the one team out of that two-spot race for the final two wildcard spots. And to have it after needing it because of a hurricane, to have that moment where MLB was bashed for it, including by myself. And I do think they handled it poorly. But it set up one of the great moments in Met history, one of the great ending of a season in Major League Baseball history, and one of the craziest games that I can ever remember. And when you add all that up, this is a memorable day. That game was everything about it. Like, again, we went in the open. I went through all the moments there, a bunch of them. And some will get lost. The Taylor at bat to start that eighth inning was a 9-10 pitch at bat to come through with that double. Knock Schwellen back out of the game. I thought the Iglesias hit. I mean, there are others, obviously. Then you need the Alvarez hit. You need all the hits. You need the Marte hit. And Marte is going to get lost in the shuffle, too. Marte comes through with that hit in the eighth. That adds to that, and then gets the base hit in the ninth that sets up the go-ahead home run. Even if Lindor hits the home run with nobody on base, it's a tie game. And then you're going into extra innings with still the regular season extra inning rule with the Manfred man on second base, and everybody be complaining that this is how the season comes down to with a runner on second. Marte's base hit is enormous in the ninth to give them to put a runner on for Lindor. And I thought the Iglesias at bat was, to me, the biggest, because now you've brought in their best pitcher. They've brought in their closer. He has an 0-2 count. And I just thought it was a terrific at bat because he was all over that outside pitch. He swings and misses at two sliders away and looked bad doing it. And even Gary, Ron, and Keith mentioned, wow, those are some bad swings for Iglesias, who's been the best hitter on the team. Like, think of how remarkable this Mets season has been. Iglesias, a journeyman middle infielder, is hitting 340 since he's been here. I believe they showed the stat, like, since he's, you know, he doesn't have enough at-bats to qualify for the batting title, but he's hitting higher than anybody else since he's become a Met. In all of Major League Baseball, 340, he's got a 20-game hitting streak that he'll continue into next year. On the day the hit leader actually passed away in Pete Rose, we haven't had a chance to really talk about it. Obviously, thoughts and prayers out to Pete. Passed away suddenly. I hadn't heard anything about Pete not being well or anything. I was just watching the documentary not too long ago. If you want to call on Pete Rose, we can a little bit. On the day of his passing and Mutombo passing away at brain cancer, those are two terrible stories. But on the hit, like, he's going in with a hit streak right now, and he takes those two swings on outside sliders, looks bad doing it, takes a high inside fastball and fouls it off. And just to know that he's going back away, like, that's just a quality hitter. I took two bad swings away. He tried to buzz me with the inside fastball. I got just a piece of it. He's going back away. And he's all over that pitch and lines it into right field. That is an enormous at-bat and just a real great high IQ at-bat from a guy who's been doing it all year for the Mets. I mean, it's going to get lost in the shuffle because there's so many big hits. And there's the Nimmo. It's followed by the Nimmo home run. It's followed by the Lindor home run. It's followed by the inning in between and Diaz blowing the game. But, I mean, there are a ton of little things and little decisions. Pete Alonso with a great defensive play earlier in the game when McGill almost threw it away and he's able to stay on the base and make that pick. Then, obviously, Alonso with the glove as well in the ninth inning and in the eighth inning, and Diaz doesn't cover, and that turns the game around where they were out of that inning. If Diaz covers, he has a mind fart or whatever you want to call it, where he thinks the ball is foul, doesn't even run. I mean, and then he unravels from there, and that would scare me about Diaz. The one thing about this moving forward is the Mets. You're going to blow games. Now, you like to not have your closer blow a three-run lead. He did come in with runners on, but you'd like to see your closer not blow a three-run lead. But what I don't like about it isn't so much that he got hit around. It isn't so much that he lost the plate. What I don't like about that performance is he allowed his mental mistake to unravel him. He allowed something negative that happened in the game to change to really affect him. And I firmly believe that's what Lee, he walks Harris on four straight pitches, falls behind Albies before the double off the wall. Like, that was the moment. He knew he made a mistake. I mean, he couldn't have said my bad enough. Like, he knew he made a mistake, and he went out there, and it cost him. You need your guys, not that he's, not to constantly compare closers to Mariano Rivera, but Mariano Rivera didn't allow that stuff to affect him. Like, you've got to have the memory of a goldfish. You got to let it go. And the one thing I don't like, now he gets back on the mound and recovers, which is why I thought the decision to put him back out there was so key moving forward. Was it the best decision in the moment of winning that game? I don't know. It worked. But what I love about that decision is I think it sets them up better moving forward, because at least the final taste in his mouth of the season isn't blowing that game and then having Stanek come in to finish his job. So I thought Mendy made a great decision, not only because it worked, but because I think it sets them up and helps Diaz moving forward, which is going to be important. They're going to need him if they want to get through this series or any other series on their way to hopefully a World Series appearance. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Chris in Astoria. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how are you, Chris? How are you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good, good. I got to talk to you about the whole, you don't understand the dynamic of Mets fans not rooting for Yankee fans, Yankees. Because, like, I have a lot of Yankee fan friends who say the same thing. They would root for the Mets if they're not playing the Yankees.
Yeah.
But, like, you guys have to realize, like, I grew up in the right in the heart of you guys winning the 4 and 5 years.
Right.
Like, I was in middle school. I got teased constantly. Constantly. You're not as good as us. You're the younger right. brother. You'll always be the younger brother. And now, I'm scarred from that. I'm like, I don't want to root for you guys ever at all.
All right, listen.
I'll never root for them, and the fact that you guys say, "Oh, I'll root for them," we don't want you to root for us. We don't want you. I don't want any Yankee fans rooting for us.
I know. Well, that's what I say. I say sometimes. I hope this doesn't come off condescending because I think that's the feel. There are people like you, and I didn't mean it that. But you know what I'm saying? There are guys like you, Chris, who think that. You know, I hate the freaking Yankees, and screw you. I don't need you. It's almost like I'm giving you sympathy or something, like, or that I feel I'm better than you, so it's okay for me to root for you guys because, hey, you're no danger to me or anything like that. I don't look at it that way. Yeah,
it comes off that way.
I hope not. I'm honestly, that's not how I feel. Now, when I do admit, and I get what you're saying. Again, the Yankees did beat them in the 2000 World Series. You want to talk about they owned the town. They were the dynasty Yankees. That's when you grew up, when they were in the World Series every year. And whatever circle of friends or kids that you surrounded yourself with when you were younger, or really you had no choice, forced to surround yourself with, that they teased you about it and you have scars about it, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for them. Kids are cruel. I apologize. For all those fifth-grade Yankee fans who had given you a hard time in the late 90s, I apologize. But I'm not them. Okay? I'm not them. And right now, you're the little, like, what little brother? Like, I'll argue with anyone who said the Mets have taken over the city. You got to win to do that, but you're not a little brother with the pockets of your new owner. You got to win to take over the city if you want, and more than just one, but... If you were 10 years older, you would remember when the Mets ran the city in the 80s. But here's the fact of the matter. I don't harbor any ill will. If you want to say that comes off condescending, I don't know what to tell you. You've never hurt me. That's part of it. Because if you hurt me, I wouldn't be a fan. I wouldn't be rooting. If they had won the 2000 World Series, yeah, I probably wouldn't be a fan. Because I'm not a fan of the Marlins. I'm not a fan of any team that's ever beat me in the playoffs. That's who I hate. I don't hate the Mets. And plus, we're watching them. They're part of the team. They're part of the city. I don't know why there has to... They're not in the same division. They're not competing for anything. They're not even competing for back pages anymore. They don't exist. The back page doesn't even exist. Like, honestly, what... The lead of Baseball Tonight, does that even exist? Like, what are we talking about? What Geico Sports Night's going to lead with? They're on SNY. I can tell you what they're going to lead with. Like, what else? Like, there is no back page. There is no, like, what we are going to open with. Like, what are the Yankees and Mets competing? They're not competing for anything. Young fans? Like, what do we care about that? Like, there is no competition. They're not battling for divisions. If that changes with realignment, then this whole thing changes. Rangers and Islander fans, they don't like each other. You know why? Because when the Islanders win, it means the Rangers don't. Like, that's... They could see each other in the playoffs on a yearly basis. It would take a World Series for the Yankees and Mets to face each other. They're not in the same division. The games could not be less important to the standings, or like there's no other team the Yankees will play that mean any less than the Met games. That's how I feel. Sorry. And if you don't want me rooting for you, I'm sorry. You can't control me.
Everybody love everybody!
That's it. Everybody love everybody.
Come on!
That's exactly right. Everybody love everybody. And you can't stop me. I'm going to root for you. Too bad. You don't like it? Too bad. I'm pulling for the Metsies. Eric and Ron Conklin. Hey, what's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Mac. Good morning. I'm exhausted after yesterday. But, you know, if I could just touch on that, because I am a little bit older... older than you in that as far as the rooting interest. And look, I always had more of an issue with the Yankee fans because I grew up, you know, I was born in the 70s, so of course, you know, I had to deal with the Reggie Jackson years and everything with them winning and the Mets were just terrible during that time.
I guess, but so what? You had to deal with Reggie Jackson hitting home runs in the World Series that had nothing to do with the Mets.
No. I know that, but you know, everybody, you know, it was the fans, you know, with the at that point, 20, you know, World, whatever. I mean, I got over that point. I mean, to my point, what I'm saying is, like, my oldest brother is a diehard Yankee fan, and he sent out congratulations yesterday. I didn't give him a hard time about it. You know, now, again, if they play each other like you're saying, I mean, I'm going to root for the Mets all the time. I'm not going to, you know, if they're going head-to-head, I mean, that's the way it's going to be. But it's not the same, in my opinion, as when they were winning the 4 out of 5, because, you know, that started getting a bit intolerable towards the end of it, especially since they finished it off by winning, you know, against the Mets. But aside from that, I mean, what a roller coaster yesterday. Oh. I mean, I was.
Yeah,
I was,
let's talk about the game and not, you know, the fans. Exactly. Let's go.
I was involved in an online watch party, and it was just, you know, between trying to type comments as I'm watching the game unfold. I mean, that was just, I mean, thank God the whole game wasn't like that, because I'm not sure I would have survived.
It was crazy, no doubt. And the end of that game, you talk about watch parties, I was watching the YouTube WFAN page and watching the watch party. How sick is Evan Roberts? Evan Roberts has a problem. Like, let's be honest. He's cuckoo. I love the dude. He's freaking nuts. He casually throws it out there. It's so stupid. I mean, if you've listened to Evan, and, you know, obviously we talked a lot about it during the Craig and the Carton and Roberts days. He's weird, and he doesn't just, he wears basketball shorts underneath his jeans instead of, you know, I don't know, underwear or whatever. He wears basketball shorts. He's an odd guy. But he just, they're talking about the game, and someone says something about, oh, the Mets can take the lead here or whatever. And he just casually says, well, yeah, listen, they take the lead, I'm taking my pants off. Like, okay, one weird thing to go right to. That's a weird thing to just say. I don't know. If they win, I'm taking my pants off. If they take the lead, I'm derobing. That's bizarre. Okay, but then he does it. They take the lead. Obviously, the Lindor, the Nimmo home run, the whole bit. They're up 6-3. He takes his pants off, and he's got a Met bathing suit underneath his pants. That's a calculated thing. He woke up today, got dressed, and said to himself, "I'm going to put on this Mets bathing suit because at some point, I'm gonna." Suggest that I'm going to take my pants off. And if the situation arises and my pants do in fact need to come off, I'm going to have a Met bathing suit underneath my pants. That's a conversation Evan had with himself when he woke up today. That's weird. It's just a weird thing. I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all. Who wants to wear, first of all, bathing suits aren't that comfortable. There's the netting. Like, you know, it's not, I don't enjoy wearing bathing suits all that much. And especially if you're going to wear them all day underneath your jeans. Like, that netting and the mesh, like, you can get a little bit of a rash. And not that I concern myself with Evan's rashes, but I'm just saying. Who walks around with jeans and a bathing suit underneath them in the odd scenario where he will threaten us all with taking his pants off? And when he does, he wants the surprise of having a Mets bathing suit underneath his pants. It's an odd individual to be focused on that on the morning of the biggest day of the Mets season. It takes time. It takes time to get that crazy. A lot of things happened to Evan along the way to get him here. 888-808-1019. So you mentioned what you were part of a watch party. We all were today. If you were watching on the Fan, I thought it was great. I wish I really did want to come. It just, man, what was I going to do for the next 10 hours here? Like, I'm on at 2 a.m. What was I going to do? If I can go out to the city and have dinner and had a couple drinks, I would have done it, but I can't do that. 888-808-1019, McMonagle here with you. 2 hours down, one more to go. And let's stop focusing on whether I'm a Yankee fan and whether I should be rooting for the Mets. First of all, it's a dopey question. You're all stupid if you think I can't or I'm not allowed to root for the Mets. I certainly am. Whether you're a Yankee fan or a Met fan, if you have a problem with it, go stick it. But more importantly, the Mets just had their greatest win in the regular season of their history. Let's focus on that.